Welcome to Cyber Universe On Call. I am Paul Prince, owner of Prince Games. I'm on SW Online, Fed Come Online, and Star Blade Warlord. Justin Wenhow joins with talk guest every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You get a call on the phone, star 605-562-0444. This follows directions. Call ID is 1702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to Talk's website at www.talkshow.com and search for call ID 1702 or SW On Call or Star Blade Universe On Call. But you want the best online experience. Yes, the best online experience. You want to go to twitch.tv/SFU on call. You will join us there. I'll be there. You'll be there in the chat room. And we're going to have a good time. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuonkall@gmail.com. It's sfuonkall@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on the Twitters, you can follow me on SFU on call on the Twitters or my personal account, Paul Franz, P-O-F-R-N-Z, or also you can follow me on Franz Games, F-R-A-N-Z-G-A-M-S. There's no T in that. And of course, these days also I have an account on Blue Sky. So you can follow me on Blue Sky. You can do that too. My business slash personal account is franzgames.com. If you want to follow the podcasting account, it's sfuoncall.bsky.social, and you'll follow me there. And of course, the lovely Talkcast gets into podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. There's a little bit of news from ADB, and that is ADB loves its customers. So just for you, from February 7th to February 16th, they're offering a 14% off everything online. Do you want to introduce your sweetie to SFU or order one of our games? Did you get a present for your sweetie? What are some extra for your collection? Obviously, 14% is about to February 14th. So, anyway, and of course, this weekend found on the online store is Name a Starship, another wonderful thing you can get for your sweetie. For $5, you can name a starship after your wife or girlfriend or other significant other. Or for $10, you can name one for each one of them. You can name starships for any or all of the women in your life, your mother, daughter, sister, cousin, or the secret object of your admiration. For only $5, we will name a Federation Starship Auxiliary Cruiser after your lady friend or male friend and send a cheesy laser-printed certificate commemorating this fact. Even better, we will record the Starship name in the book form in the U.S. Copyright Office when we get to 500 of them. Actually, you can pick any empire or species of your ship and can name it after anyone, even the beloved pet, other than public or historical figures. there are limitations on it, but you know, if you have a wonderful pet that you want to name it after, or of course, as I mentioned here, other loved one, you can do that. Moving onward and forward to SFB Online Tournament. Actually, there's two tournaments that are going to be running soon. First is going to be the Sapphire Star Tournament, number 18. It's still waiting for the one semifinal game to be completed between Metalog and Kingzilla. And that's going to be a Zinti versus Orion. So that should be quite interesting. And actually, there's another tournament which is coming up. He's looking for submissions, which is the 500 BPV tournament. So if you're on the discussion board, you can find it there. And I would recommend you do that. Obviously, if you're in the SFU community, which probably you've already gotten an email about it, but in case you haven't, you know, go to the Starfleet Games discussion board. Remember that it needs to use the HTTP protocol, not HTTPS. So you might have to wrangle with your browser so you actually can see it, which is actually, you think about it, it's kind of interesting that now it's coming almost like a secret forum because most browsers won't bring it up properly without you actually knowing that the secret incantation just to be able to go to that discussion board. So I think it's kind of kind of interesting in that category, you know. But anyhow, moving over and forward to the library report. When it comes to the library, there actually is a couple fixes, at least one fix, possibly some new ships. I need to check because of I got a bunch of Liren PFs. Big surprise, that's for the 500 BPB tournament that Jeff Clark is running into. So I have to wait and see. I hadn't had a chance to actually look at that, so I haven't processed that. And the other one is a Liren BCH. Excuse me. Sorry, my cat again. My guess is this is going to be a really interesting night. But anyhow, so they have those things going. There's nothing when it comes to FedCon, there hasn't been anything going on there. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one and only Paul fans welcoming you to the Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi. Hi, Doug.
And me, the one, the only, the one you all love, me. Not quite sure that's the case, but.
Opinions vary.
Yep. So. Actually, we're going to get back to the 500 BPV tournament, actually the fleet. This time is had made discussions. Actually, just one quick thing about the 500 BPV tournament. One, obviously, they're still looking for players, so definitely check the discussion board. Remember, you have to quit, futz with your browser, so make sure they stage in HTTP. It doesn't try to bring it up in HTTPS, because if it does, you'll just see a blank page. So, warning you that about that right now. Now, also one thing that Jeff did do when it comes to the tournament is that he sat down and he looked through the whole rule book, basically. He didn't read the whole book, but he went through all the rules in the rule book in the sections and so forth. So what he did was that he basically went through and cut back on some of the rules and added some of the rules. So he has a definitive list of what rules will be used and will not be used as part of the tournament. So definitely you want to check out that list. Actually, that was the one thing that I was concerned about, actually, when initially creating my fleet. It wasn't the fleet. It was the commander's options for the fleet. And that is, one of the rules that I want to use, I didn't see listed. That rule basically was warp booster packs, is what it was. Because we're dealing with Y-180 when warp booster packs actually did exist. They just came out, came to be available in Y-180, which is interesting by itself. Long story short, that was one of the rules that he actually added in. I did not go through and look through all the rules that are definitely going to be used and definitely not going to be used. My guess is obviously some of the optional rules, like critical hits, won't be used. Like positronic flywheel. Sorry, can't use that.
The I win gimmicks, basically.
Yeah, like hidden cloaks. That kind of thing will not be available. Just to let you know. He actually went through and got a definitive list of those. And definitely, he's still looking for players. So please, if you're interested, 500 BPV fleet actually is not that large. Now, what makes it, in my mind, a fleet, it was one of the restrictions that got put in early. And as I mentioned earlier, I really felt like we wanted it to be a fleet. We didn't want this to be a squadron versus squadron. We wanted it to be a quote unquote fleet. And I say quote unquote just because of, it's not a real fleet, but it's because it's 500 BPV. You want a real fleet, you have to get into like the 700, 750, 1000 BPV amount of ships. And then that's when, fortunately, you know, we're limited by two size class three ships in the fleet. No size class two ships, no dreadnoughts, no carriers, no none of that. Still, we're not allowed to have carriers or minesweepers or monitors. I'm surprised, actually, he looks like that Jeff allowed something which I thought was kind of, I don't quite think I quite agree with it, but we'll see how it goes, because, and that is battle tugs. He allowed battle tugs. And I went, okay. I kind of disagree with that one just because I feel like it's almost like the monitors in that though the monitors, I think, probably have better shielding than the battle tugs. But both are very slow moving vessels, which, you know, in the case of a monitor, you know, if a person brings a monitor to a moving battle, you're not very smart because of, you know, what's going to happen. Are you going to expect your opponent to come close? Because the issue, obviously, with any fleet is that to stay together as a fleet, and we're not talking about attritional units here, you are going to be going as fast as the slowest unit you have can go.
Well, here's the thing. You're being a little presumptive there. You know, you could try star castling with it, and you're penalizing yourself if you take it, because what you're starting to say is slowness factor there.
Right.
You could tractor that thing and drag it around, I think. I don't think it's immune to tractors or anything like that. But there's definitely a detrimental thing to that. It's more of a specialized point defense kind of thing for planetary scenarios. And it's just like one of those things that makes you go, why did they put that in there? I mean, it's almost like it's an homage to a traveler concept, where in the traveler game, they have ships that are warp capable that can jump from system to system, but then they have system defense boats that can fly around the system, but they can't jump. You know, they have a, you know, similar point value for fleets and whatnot, but they're basically stuck where they're at, so to speak.
Understood.
But then again, in the traveler thing, I believe, and I could easily be corrected if I'm wrong on this, on a tactical level, they move the same as any other ship, even if the ship has jump capability, because they don't use a tactical warp system. But that's what I thought of they were when I first saw them, like, what, 30-something years ago? And it's like, about the only real reason you would have that would be for fixed defenses.
Right, which is the whole idea of a monitor.
Although, depending on what you're doing, I mean, yeah, they could be a good disruptor platform. They could be a good heavy weapons platform. You get them out in the middle of the field. Yeah. But on the other hand, speed is life in SFB.
Yep. And that's one thing that's my question. That's one thing that I have to look. I don't think he actually talked about it at all, which is, are we going to have any rules about non-aggression? Meaning, someone tries to do a star castle, you know, They're gonna sit there on the corner, not, maybe a little bit farther into the map, or possibly the you know. That'd be interesting.
It would be. The other thing though that I think about is, okay, you guys want to have a fleet thing versus a you know, tournament fight set up. That's like an all day sucker.
Right. Oh, understood. That's why
it's not a short fight.
Right.
Even some of these fleet fights take, even some tournament fights take a few days because people have scheduling issues and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
They don't always get done right away or within like a 3 hour or 4 hour block.
Mm-hmm.
And just the sheer amount of stuff going on with that many ships, even one player versus one player with unity of thought on each side, is going to take a much longer time to play out. So, I mean, it's interesting. It's the kind of thing that you like. It's part of the genre, but it's just a different chunk of the onion cake thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Many layers of SFB.
Ah, okay. The hi, Jeff. He's listening on Twitch, but he said the ambient noise is too much for him to actually call in, and I can understand that. He's probably on the road, which gets quite noisy.
Hope you're safe in the ice storm.
Oh, amen.
Or just not even in the area for it.
Right. Yeah, you know, he's I'm not sure what's happening in the middle of the country, because he's normally like mountain time. Yeah.
Out in the Midwest.
Yep. Jeff was just mentioning that star casting has its place, but in a situation like this, it really doesn't make sense. When the casters have something they can run away from to fight, like a planet or a crippling cap. Oh, yeah. Jeff says that he's warm and safe. It's only a negative 4 degrees Fahrenheit this morning in Belgrade, Montana, but it's like 30 degrees here in Rapid Falls, South Dakota. So
balmy.
Yeah, he's usually in those, in the Dakotas and so forth. Yeah, that's about it. So. Negative 4. Talk about nippy. And just mentioned that you know, battle tugs can match fleet speeds, but not the heavy weapons. But you know, the monitors, they cannot match fleet speeds. Yep, yeah, I agree there. But anyhow, yeah. So, now, what I was going to do is actually, those of you, now, if anyone who's actually playing the 500 BBB tournament, obviously, you're about to know my fleet, because that's what we're going to talk about real quick. I just to let you guys know, I did query Jeff Clark about flying Seltorians. And I just mentioned to him, like, okay, you know, we've got the Tholians in it, and the Seltorians are only 2 years. They're Y-182 is when they show up. There's only 2 years. Now, a discussion came about on the board about, yeah, and that is about the heavy war destroyers. And for the most part, he said that, you know, that it would be okay, but that's about it. He wasn't gonna push the years any later. Obviously, the one thing with the Seltorians would be that if they got 184, they have a little more options when it comes to ships. But I told him, like, 182, we've got plenty of ships. We have fine selection. We're not gonna go crazy with this. And if, So, and the wonderful wonderful part about Saltorians, in my mind, is that when it comes to Saltorians in Starfleet battles, they're not really meant to be a duel. They're not supposed to, they're not really good for dueling, at least in my mind. And Jeff agreed. And the great thing about that, now they got a with Saltorians, they can actually possibly do well because they're meant to be flown in fleet. We actually have shield crackers, which actually can be used to break down the shields and actually do some hit and run raids. And with a 500 BPV fleet, you've got somewhere between three and five ships. Depends on how many of the smaller ships you want to get into. But you're maxed out when it comes to two class three. Now, the thing is, that limits a lot of the ships when it comes to have two size class three. Because the size class three, overall, I'm not talking about the Saltorians, overall, that includes both the heavy cruisers and the light cruisers. Those are both size class three ships. So, interesting. Sorry, I was reading what Jeff posted up on the chat room. Now, remember, he's doing this on Twitch. So those of you who are listening or watching, you can actually be a Twitch and be part of the interaction here. And Jeff was mentioning the Celts are not, as I recall, the battle group Little Rock first got access to the first group of materials, and Lord knows, I'm not sure how rough that was. It was our assessment that they were not intended as a means unto an end with regard to forcing ship boarding actions and thusly justifying Module M. This was back in 1996. So, say barely, it's been. The Saltorian's been around that long.
Oh yeah. I remember when they were new. They came out during my second time back in the army, back 93 to 96, I think. At least I think that's when they came out, roughly in that time frame. I could be wrong.
Oh yeah. Oh, that doesn't surprise me. Oh, it doesn't surprise me because I think the Saturnians came out with the Tholians, with the I forget which
The
R module.
Tholians were around for the beginning of the game.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the Neo-Tholians.
Yeah, and they came out with the Neo-Tholians as a counter to them. So,
Because, yeah.
where both of them arrived, both groups of those arrived around the same time.
Right. That's one thing I did not look at, which was if, and Jeff did not just definitely put down his foot and said, no, it's Y-180 for everybody else but the Saltorians, which is then Y-182. Again, as I mentioned, for the Saltorians, it does not give them access to all the ships they had because they had new ships that they actually created in Y-184. That's after they got their big brothers in the Klingons to help them out. So anyway, yeah. So that'd be interesting to see what the Tholians also had it in Y-182, which I'm glad that they did not, increase the if for everybody just with Saltorians. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna show my fleet and also show my thinking behind about the fleet. Okay, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna do this. Always got it backwards. The way I have my best. Now, what I did was something actually a relatively simple fleet, just because of I thought this would probably give me the best power, and also overall, you know, simple fleet, I guess. I guess part of it is one that I grabbed two heavy cruisers, two CAs. You know, simple ship with the eight phaser ones and the four phase and the four particle cannons, and then it should have, and there's two web breakers, and which it can fire, of course, in shield cracker mode. Actually, I'm that'd be interesting if we actually get to fly against a Tholian fleet. That can be kind of cool, especially if they try to use the web. Now you can use the web breaker. Yeah. Now, of course, the bad thing about this ship is, right there. That is the batteries. There's only four batteries for a side. Sorry, a movement costs one ship. That means if we ever want to hit, which invariably in a fleet, you don't want to do that much heading as a lone ship. You want to do that as part of multiple ships doing it at the same time. But still, it's four there. Got the six transporters, which is fantastic. You know, center, right, and left warp. I did not. Okay, total power is 40 points of power, so it should do quite nicely in a fleet scenario. Oops, excuse me. I forgot to do something. I forgot to put myself into quiet mode so that y'all won't hear my bips and bleeps. There. Done. Obviously, turn mode D, I think everything I have is turn mode D. The one thing which, of course, is nasty, which is a 4-6 breakdown. Not exactly the best ship to do the hit, even if you wanted to do a hit. And what I also did was I grabbed two destroyers. Again, break down the 4-6. These are not really meant to be doing any heavy heading. It's got the three batteries, and it's got a total of 22 power, and it's got the two particle cannons, and the four phaser ones, and one of the web breakers. And I got two of those. And as I said, I want something. I'm assuming we're going to ignore this. It says, I can't use wild weasel, suicide shells, or T-bombs prior to 184. I think Jeff is going to ignore that part because of the play. I need to be able to have access to those. And this, didn't know they include two gas shuttles. Interesting, I did not know that.
Well, their main thing is boarding action, so there you go.
Right. I have to remember about that. That's included in the ship. I'm assuming that actually this is correct, that it can't, in theory, since they're new to the galaxy, they don't know about wild weasels and things like that. But I'm assuming I'll double check with Jeff. I don't think he'll say, no, you can't use wild weasels. It would be kind of silly.
Yeah, well, it's basically stuff from their the old galaxy.
Right, exactly. They showed up in Y-182 and didn't really get the technology to do wild weasels and suicide shells and that kind of thing until after they arrived. And that's fine. Now, The destroyers were bum bum bum. Do they have it here? No. Okay, let me do this because I'm already showing you guys my fleet. Which was here. Okay. Which is got two Saltorians. The heavy cruisers are worth 142 points. BPV a piece. Of course, I took an MRS shuttle, like every single fleet is allowed to take one MRS shuttle. So I'm going to take my one. I took two heavy cruisers and two destroyers. The destroyers cost 95 points, 95 BPV. The total cost of my fleet is 474. With T-bombs and the MRI shuttle and all that, so it's 530. But obviously my fleet is less than 500. And then we're allowed to spend up to 550. And one thing I did was that I got 20 more points. Jeff noted that. So what I did was I leaned heavy on boarding party actions. So I got 8 commandos. You're limited 2 commandos per commando squads per ship. So each ship's going to have 2 commando squads. And then I got another 16 boarding parties, extra boarding parties to be going around the different ships so that, you know, they all can do any of the fun action of boarding parties can. And I got a couple, I think I got 4. Yeah, I got 4 warp booster packs. The idea is that I have 1 shuttle from each ship have warp booster packs, because the benefit of warp booster packs is that the shuttle can move faster. The bad side of warp booster packs is any damage is taken double. While you have the warp booster packs, I have to double check whether it's just on the fighters or if they have to be active. Because I know with PFs, they have to be active. With the fighters, i.e. shuttles shuttles or fighters, I did not look exactly into that particular question, because it's been years since I used warp booster packs. Yeah, Jeff just mentioned that you wish you had free time to play. Oh, I need to see if we can get the previous. Actually, that's one. What the heck is that? Oh, I know what that is. Don't mind me. I think Siri came up. Where is it? I know what I was looking for. I wanted to go to this. And don't mind me. That's one thing I was possibly going to discuss a little bit later on, which is Nicosians. Okay, that's field 9, none, sapphire, 500 BPV. Was races, i.e., empires. I'm surprised he didn't get dinged on them. Certain galactic are operating. We got the general war. We got the Federation, Klingon, Romulan, Klingon, Zinti, Gorn, Tholians, including the 312th Neo-Tholian Squadron. See notes below. Hydrogen, Lyran, win outside of cluster only. Fifth series are purchased Orion Hulls, Vudar, or IC, and the Thothorns are a special case, having a year of service of 182. However, since Thothorn maybe. Okay, the Saturn included in Model T and associate tournament. An exception will be made, and the Saturn fleet may be selected. For Tholians, the webcaster limits under E12.16 are further restricted. Only 1 webcaster armed ship is permitted. For ISC, PBDs under E11.117 are further restricted. Only 1 BPD armed ship is permitted. So those of you who were interested might have just went, oh man. Obviously Pravens aren't currently allowed, and I don't see them adding that, you know, personally, at least for this go around. If we keep this up, you know, we actually play out the tournament and we have a good time and people want to do it again, it's possible that Pravens at some point can actually be added. Obviously, the first time through, we will be, it's going to be a learning process. Yes, I think Jeff played against Ed. I think it was Ed. To, you know, just to see how that size of a fleet would work out. I don't know what the results were of said fleet. Yeah, here's a list of all used. So all rules allowed in the standard tournament are in fact the addition of following rules. As in the case, standard tournament rules are in effect, but we have additional ones. We have reverse direction, which of course it's actually reversing direction. Yeah. A Kaufman retrograde is okay, but fixed map. Yeah, no kidding. Self-destruction. That's always a nasty little sucker. Boarding party combat. Leaky shields only for time limits. See above. Actually, I better look at that. Because there is a time limit on certain things.
Yeah, that could be important.
Yeah, it happens if you were... You're given 20 minutes for each turn for energy allocation. With an actual 5-minute bio break, players and team need to mutually agree to start and stop turns after all end of turn actions are completed. Records of start and end time down and end down to the minute must be kept and submitted to the judge for both players for the team as complete after 20 minutes, but within 25, a random ship will be subject to a leaky shield for every 10th point of damage scored. Yikes. So, stay within the timeline is what he's saying. We have plasma carronades. We got ESM plasma, which is kind of cool. EDR. Big surprise. Maulers can be used. Ion cannon, ion pulse cannon. The different types of drones. Advanced drones. Annoying. I'm sorry. How you can tweak a drone to be this, a little bit of boom, a little bit of phaser, a little bit of ECM. Really? You're going to create this really obnoxious drone that's going to do all this? Of course, it only can do a little bit of each. Some things that will not be used: directed turn modes, positron flywheel, as I mentioned, petroleum pinwheel. In other words, don't try it. Surprise, nonviolent combat, power absorber panels. And that's only because there's no Andromedans. They definitely need to add an Andromedan. When they do that, I have lots of fun. Andromeda critical hits. I assume also critical hits. Yeah. Probe. Oh, probe drones. Okay, we use probes, but not probe drones. Okay, that's fine. No bombers, remotely controlled fighters, mega fighters, shuttles towing shuttles. Okay, I'm sure there's a reason. Interceptors, PF leaders, PF engine degradation, Death Rider PFs, minefields. Detecting mines, well, it's automatic. Power absorber mines, another one of those things, like, you're missing out on something cool. Off-map drone bombardment, carriers, no carriers, and no X-ships. So, as of
no
this...
No X-ships.
Yeah.
Aw.
As of the Tuesday of this past week, as in 2 days ago, we have confirmed, we have me, we have Frank LeMay. We have I think Brian Madsen. I don't know who Fluch is. Peter Bikia is going to be playing. Maybe is Justin Reuter. Ed Crutchfield. I forget who Messia. Is it Rick? Is it Messia? Yeah, I think it is Rick. And possibly Jeff. Depends upon the number of players. He said, if we do not get 8 players, I'm planning to play an ISC force. In other words, he's pre-announcing the force that he would play to get, but he hopes to get 8 players. If you're only seven, we will have one lucky random player at the first round to have a bye. If there are six or less, we might play three rounds and randomly selected round robin. Okay, ask to please send that. And okay, just mentioned that he did extend the time limit within reason, and that Frank is not going to be available until the first. But Jeff said that's fine. We'll work around it, especially because most combat is going to take a while. I'm not sure how long the rounds are going to be. Okay. Cool. So that allows you to see that. And my thought behind it is, as I said, it's a relatively simple fleet. It maximizes the amount of particle cannons. I have 12 particle cannons, which are, in my mind, quite important. And the wonderful part about particle cannons in fleet scenarios is that you will, especially given the map that we're fighting on, the whole concept, the whole idea of actually firing twice in one turn is a very realistic thing to do, because I'm no longer fighting in the freaking fishbowl. Since I've got a larger map, that gives me the ability to actually fire the particle cannons twice in a turn. Especially when you're closing in, I can fire at a longer distance, and then as we get a closer distance, I can fire again. Now, obviously, minor issue, of course, power is always an issue. So, but I think it's going to be a great benefit for the Sartorians in fleet combat, and more importantly, ranges. The range we're going to be talking about is going to be a lot larger ranges and a lot more movement than is possible in the tournament fishbowl. And obviously, I got to check and see what kind of MRS shuttle. I know it doesn't get drums, of course. I think it just has like phasers for the MRS shuttle. But the important thing for me for the MRS shuttle, because the one thing I didn't do, I didn't select the scout. And actually, let me just go back here and check one thing, which is I don't think. Let's go check for. I don't see it in the not used. I don't. And there it is. So they do have G24. Which is scout function. Scout functions can only be used using a special sensor. So if people decide to get a scout, then that would be quite interesting in those forces. Obviously, for me, that might have been a good idea actually to get a scout. But at the same time, The problem with scouts is that you have to get a large scout. The reason why you have to get a large scout is in, you know, a heavy cruiser type scout. You have to get a heavy cruiser type scout, because if you don't get a heavy cruiser type scout, the problem is the power required to run those special sensors when it comes to ECM and DCCM. That's where we have issues, my friends. And that's one of those beautiful things about having an MRS shuttle, is that you get additional ECM or ECCM, which the shuttle one basically loans to you to use, you know, which is a good thing. Now, when it comes to where I'm going to be putting the warp booster packs, I still got to figure that out, because of, in a way, I'd like to have it as part of the MRS shuttle, because of I want the MRS shuttle to keep up with me. But of course, that means also That's going to be a target. You know, when it comes to, when the fleets start to close, he's going to want to take out my MR shell, because that's a good bit of my ECM and ECCM. Well, at least that's a not a lot of it, But at the very least, it is a key lender of it, which is cost me zero amount of power.
You could be overthinking it too.
Me?
Yeah, it's easy to do in SFB to start with. And then with all the extra stuff you have in a fleet,
mm-hmm,
and the fleet potentials, and you're adding in the ECM stuff, yeah. It's easy to overthink the stuff and get really hung up on one little thing. So.
Mm-hmm. True.
There's that. And I mean, just because EW is allowed, it's a two-edged sword. I mean, if you dedicate an entire unit to it, then that's less firepower you have.
But right,
you can really cut down your opponent's firepower, depending on how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember telling you about the one captain's game that we played decades ago with some people in Harrisburg. This is before I met you, but, you know, I took a GSC scout, basically the Enterprise,
mm-hmm, right,
kind of ship. And it was with the ship modification rules and just adding four phaser Gs to it, it was unstoppable. And the other players just kind of said, okay, you win after a while. So, but on the other hand, in a fleet battle, yeah, I kind of agree with you on wanting the heavier scout, but what are you sacrificing to get it?
Well, definitely.
You know.
Don't talk about back in the day when we actually used ship mod rules. Maybe actually removed the rules from the rule book when it comes to the captain's edition. They got rid of
it. Could break the game with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was barely balanced back then. And, you know, all balancing issues aside, it's such a complex thing that it's not necessarily, it's close to unbalanceable. I mean, the points are really a guideline more than anything else to keep you in a ballpark.
Right. Oh. Agreed. That's the whole issue with BPV. That as a point of reference of how deadly a ship is, and that is that doesn't really take into consideration your opponent, terrain, and all the other factors that can reduce or increase a ship's effectiveness. You know, so that. What's this? Oh, area control ship. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the other Sotorian ones. I'm not sure if you're able to watch on Twitch.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be playing that area control ship thing. Isn't that like a super carrier? Is that the one with like all the EF links?
There's all the shuttles for the Sotorians. And of course, it has a couple of special sensors. And of course, we're not allowed to use them, basically. And this is also a Y-184 ship. You know, there is no, you know, it doesn't have an SCS, right? Yeah, big surprise. The SCS basically is a full, an SCS would have a full squadron of fighters and a full flotilla of PFs, which is always interesting in my book. What's that? Oh, a package route. Jeez, that would be interesting. I gotta check that. Oh man, I'm willing to bet that's actually size class 2. Package Redna, it's a beast of a ship. Actually, I had to check to see its markings. Is that, my guess is that it was a never built ship. It's a conjectural ship. I don't think they ever built a Pocket Dreadnought. Because pocket ships usually were captured ships. know, from the wind, and they did crazy things with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you only get one chance to defend in the whole thing.
Yep.
So
Yeah, this one.
in the wind cluster, yeah, you're hosed if you don't.
Yeah, the fast cruiser is, again, it's Y-185. So, at very least, it was limited when it comes to the amount of. Let me see, do I have it? Up, oh, there it is. G3. And this is what? These are the fighters. Yeah, this is the Master Fighter chart. Dun, 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 dun. Don't bother me. This is. Yeah, it's the Master Ship chart, which Sartorians was what? Actually, let's go back to this guy. R-15. Okay, that's kind of important to know that. That's R-15. This is R-12, which is either go down. And there's 16, and there's 15. And that's 15. And that's 14 to there. So this. Just want to show that up, and then let me just show that over here so people have a better idea. Do they have it here? Probably not. Nope.
Turn the hotspot on, please. Mommy's hotspot. Oh, get it plugged in and then turn it on.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a nice little hive
It'll
ship.
still charge. I'm not using it all night,
What was
dude.
it? Where is it? It was Nest ships. What's there was I don't see it listed here. There was a it was like a battle basically it's a hive ship. But they put a lot of weapons on it.
Okay.
Well, it's worth 600 BPP slash 250. I'm willing to bet that by itself is only worth 250. But that's also a size class one, so
Well, no,
hey.
by itself, it's probably worth more.
I wonder if I could. That'd be interesting. Like, hey, Jeff, can I fly a hive ship? It's only worth 250, and it's a size class one. It's not a size class two, it's a size class one. Yeah. To me, that'd be funny.
Yeah, I suspect the answer might be no.
Yeah, I know the answer would be no, but it'd be a fun stuff. Okay, we got where's the year in service? In service. See a lot of these. Okay, 182, we've got those. We got the Nest, got the Dreadnought, had the BCH, which again, it's size class two. Not size class three, size class two. Then we have the heavy cruisers, 182. Got the survey cruiser, 182, which my guess that would have the special sensors. Actually, what does that look like? Let me just do a quick check here. Just curious. Ah, Sartorian. There. Survey cruiser has. Interesting. No. Got two particle cannons. Got the four. So basically, the way it did was it got rid of two particle cannons and added cargo and added two special sensors. How much is that thing? Oops. Keep doing that. And that is basically 162 because of it's in fleet, and the fleet is that Eeps, economic versus battle, and battle wise it's only worth 112. But if it's in a fleet, then by definition it costs you the economic value, which is 162. So you definitely I would be reducing the amount of firepower that I have for just two special sensors, which actually wouldn't be too bad. The biggest issue, obviously, the problem is with that is that you're going to use special sensors for certain things, but you can use it for ECM until you have to use those weapons. As soon as you use those weapons, then the special sensors go poof because they get blinded, and at that point they
Yeah,
become
but I think it's what, one per? So
one per weapon.
yeah, it's not all of them at once.
Right, but you
I
only
hope.
have two special sensors. Usually you have a maximum like of four.
Yeah, get your use out of them first and then use your heavy weapons.
Right. So in theory you could use the special sensors to for the ECM and CCM.
Well, there's also more you can do with that than just
Right,
ECM.
right. Oh, I know
You can use to break lock-ons
you can
for
break lock on
drones
for drones, you can
to
use it
attract
for
drones.
attracting seeking weapons.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff you can use them for.
That's true. That's true. That's additional.
Don't forget your ability to, if you have all, does it have a bunch of labs on it for identifying stuff?
That's a good question. Yes, it has six labs.
So, yeah, you know, that's kind of helpful too.
That is true.
Remember, if you're going to use the thing, use it to its full potential.
Right. In theory, oh, actually, yeah, in theory, I could upgrade it. I have to check with Jeff. In theory, I could upgrade the heavy cruiser to the survey cruiser. That might be an interesting one.
Question is it really worth it?
Yeah, that is
I
the.
mean, if you want my two cents on it, if you're
Yes, I
going to
do.
talk to the guy about it, I think that in the interest of like time and being able to get the damn thing done, maybe you guys should just cut out the ECM aspect. Because that is it can be a game breaker for people if they one guy has it, the other guy doesn't. He knows how to use it really well. Then it's overbearing, you know. And it's just one of those things that could also, you could also end up really dragging the game out. So, you know, because of the ability to break all those locks or to blind your opponent and keep them from doing damage to you and all this other stuff. So, I mean, it's just something to consider. If I was going to run the thing, I would probably cut that out just in the interest of time. To me, it's like if you're in a club and you got a bunch of people sitting around playing the game on a Saturday, and you got all day to do it, and a bunch of people who all know what they're doing. Yeah, that's great, you know, for like a single scenario or a campaign or whatever. But for you're trying to do a tournament with this kind of thing, you know, one person versus one person. I don't know. I think the impact is just too much. And it's
Well,
like if you look at the tournament for the duels, they cut out a lot of that stuff just for the simplicity factor.
right.
Just so you can get your game done in 3 hours at a you know, at Origins or any other convention you were playing at. So
Understood that.
I mean, I'm just trying to think of you guys because I'm not playing it.
Right. Oh, understood.
You
Understood.
know,
And
and I'm looking at it from an outsider perspective going, that might be a bit much for the time frame that you're looking at.
right.
And time commitment. Now, I could also be completely wrong. There could be like everybody could be all hardcore about it and go, no, no, I want that.
Right.
Okay, knock yourselves out. Okay. Enjoy. That's up to you guys. Maybe you should put up to a poll. See what all the players say because of the.
They do want to play EW. That is definite.
That's a given. Well, there you go then.
Yeah, because that was discussed early on, that they definitely want because they want standard rules. They wanted EW involved. Now, more to the point, in my mind. Okay, if you're using EW, that's fine. You can use EW. That's going to be it's going to penalize your ship because you're going to have to use your power to generate the ECM or ECCM when you want to,
point you need.
Right, which means you're going to be moving slower than your opponent. And obviously,
it's a stupid trade-off because if you have to use it, then they're in the same position you are because they're spending it's spending six to beat six.
Right. Understood. I totally understand that. Now, here's the question that I put to you. Which is, given the current situation that we're going to have EW, do you think anyone is going to actually buy a scout?
I don't know. I mean, that's really a trade-off. Are you stuck with your fleet the way it is once you buy it? Or do you change them between rounds?
No, you're stuck with what you've got each round. That's it. You cannot change it.
Yeah, because the flip side of all this is your scout could easily become like the weapons magnet every time, too. So if you do, I don't know. You have to literally figure out what role is your scout going to do. What do you want your scout to do? I don't know what the other guys are thinking. I mean, do you want, a small scout to have a limited role? Or a big scout that takes up one of your major weapons platform ships,
Because
there's not much on the in-between there. You know, you want a cruiser or do you want a, frigate scout?
Okay.
That's a hard one. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Understood. So, understood.
On the other hand, if you don't take a scout, how hosed are you going to be if you come up against somebody who has one?
That's why I asked the poignant question. Do you think anyone else will take a scout? Or will they want to optimize their amount of damage they can do to the other person? Which means, forget the scout, we'll deal with EW on an individual basis, and go that approach.
Well, there's the thing. If the scout can provide the entire fleet with max ECM or break a ton of lock-ons, it might be worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for 500 points,
right? See, that's
how much of your firepower is that? Maybe a frigate. Something that could like support like one or two ships, but seriously, I don't know. I am kind of stumped on this one because of the point value, and if you were running a 1,000 point fleet, yeah, Scout would probably be a good
Oh,
investment.
yeah.
But if you're looking at a, almost squadron size, just slightly larger than squadron size fleet, I don't know. I don't know, 'cause I'm thinking to the survey cruisers, where they've got a couple heavy weapons on it and a bunch of phasers, and then they've got all the extra special sensors. And the special sensors are what makes the ship shine. But on the other hand, you've given up 50% of your heavy weapons for that. I mean, you could. If you want to be the Ewar King, that might be a way to do it.
True.
Did you just have to have a very good strategy of what you're going to do when you go into the fight? So.
Very true.
That's my personal opinion.
Okay.
If you have a strategy for it, yes. If you don't really have a strategy for it, then no.
Yeah, because at the moment I'm rolling it in my mind, possibly because we still haven't started yet, so I can, in theory, I can adjust my fleet a little bit. I'm contemplating the survey cruiser because of it can basically help on the approach. Have it so you have the additional ECM on possibly on the first battle pass, maybe later on. But afterwards, it still has a good bit of the weapons. It doesn't have the shield crackers and it lost two of its particle cannons. Still has the rest. It has the eight phaser ones and the four phaser threes. So it still has a lot of what the cruiser has. It has the same amount of power as a cruiser, which is 40 points. And if on initial approach, save power. Don't charge the particle cannons because at the very least. Even holding them, let's say for 3 points of energy for each, that means you'd have to hold them for 1.5 per, which is 3 points of energy, to hold them at three points each, 3 points of power each for each weapon. So you save those 3 points, you can use those for the special sensors. I have to double check on the numbers and so forth, but it's something I'm considering at the moment. Using it as a help on initial path, initial, getting in there without being knocked out of the sky, and then switch it over to a more active role and treat it like a light cruiser.
For it.
Yeah, this means that I lose some things, like some of my commandos and things like that.
Well, doesn't it have the capability of having those too?
Yeah, the problems around BPV, the problem. Because it's going to cost me 20 more BPV to take the survey cruiser.
Gotcha.
Because we're in a fleet battle. If it wasn't a fleet battle, it'd be worth less. It'd be less, worth 30 points less. So, what's the BPV of the Fed CSCN? Interesting question. I'll look that up real quick. Just asking about. Okay, now actually, I'm going to do this first. I just want to make sure that I don't want to save it like that. So this is 7. That's 5. That's 3. That's 4. That's 3. Come on, give me R2 Federation. And he said, "What's okay? A frigate would cost you to okay, man, the saucers, early years. Okay, so go up here. Tugs, pods, national frigates. A frigate cost 71 points. That's a BPV. Now, that's a Federation. There's destroyers. New light cruisers, new heavy cruisers. I'm assuming the GSC is going to be there. Oh, there's the GSC. The GSC is worth, in a fleet battle, it's worth 142. It's only worth 122 in a non-fleet battle. So, just to let you no.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck storming a castle.
Which obviously brings up an interesting question about that when it comes to, you know.
Cause if you capture somebody's ship, do you get to keep it for the next scenario?
No, you just get the, you get that bonus towards, you know, the victory points. For the scenario.
Just asking.
Oh, understood. Just asking for a friend. So. But, anyway, at least, interesting, you know, as pointed out, it's gonna be a test because of, there's gonna be fleet battles. Therefore, it has 3 ships, it's going to take longer to fight out these battles than a normal tournament battle, which might take anywhere between 2 hours.
Yeah, I mentioned that part already.
Yeah, 2 hours to 8 hours.
You got an all-day project there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely going to be, I'm going to say, multiple weeks because of scheduling.
Gee, you know, if you did this in person, you could probably do like one a day at Gamers.
That is true. I know that. Trust me. As I pointed out at the beginning of this whole series on the 500 BPV tournament, that the original rules were written up for an age where people went to conventions and they'd spend 2 or 3 days, possibly even the whole day, playing one game. Yeah. I remember those days. Well, back in my day, you know. Oh, by the way, get off my lawn.
Yeah, exactly. Whippersnapper.
So
I feel sad and yet happy at the same time. I'm at that age where I can say whippersnapper.
Yeah, you're a rubber snapper.
And I got the beard to go with it.
Yes, you do. I can't.
I want my next house to be a place where I can sit on the porch on the rocking chair with the shotgun. and it all looks appropriate. Yeah.
Well, to me, that picture means you're living on a farm. That's the way I watch too much TV, but
up in the mountains, I'll be happy.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Appalachian Hill folk. Okay.
Oh,
I'm down for it.
Yeah. I know exactly where you like to live out in the middle of Virginia.
That's kind of pushing it. I mean, the one thing I like about this area is, you know, it's kind of on the cusp. You've got rural real close and you've got city fairly close.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
It's like, you know, Walmart's an option,
Right.
but it's not the height of fucking, you know,
Oh.
culture.
Understood. Understood. Yeah, I personally, that's one of the reasons I like where I'm located right now, which is all I have to do is head out a little west. And you get lots more woods and a lot more rural. If I go
Well, kind
east,
of.
it's more urban.
Yeah. And a weird thing is, it's like I'm like a stone's throw to Hershey, which is like one of the most expensive spots to live in the state. Dairy Township. Oh, yeah. You can literally go see the Hershey Mansion. And then you can see all the Hershey farms where they had, like, you know, kid labor. I mean, not kid, well, yeah, it was kid labor. It was like, not, yeah, they were kind of like farm schools where they would send like delinquents or people who were impoverished or both. But they had like a just weird combination of like institutional farms. It's like a weird history thing. You generally won't hear about those if you see something on like Food Channel about Hershey's.
True. True. Well, come on, that's about the history of not just Hershey, but you know, the whole society and all and so forth.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Well, I gotta get going. I gotta shut this thing down. And actually get
Okay,
some rest.
can I
Yes.
hit my other plug in?
Yes, you may.
Gamers is let's see, it's Thursday, right? So Thursday, Friday. Oh, hey, look, we're like 9 days away. 9 days to gamers.
Yikes.
Exactly.
9 games gamers. Oh.
9 days to gamers a winner.
Oh, that could be interesting.
What's that?
I gotta look at. Well, it depends. I might not be able to come on
What?
Sunday.
Oh.
I might be able to come for a little bit, but then I have to fly out. Because I'm also part of my Franciscans meet on the third Sunday of the month, and that's gonna be the third Sunday of the month.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, what I might do is just punt.
Or just bring them with you.
One that I'm not sure everyone would be willing to drive out from Reading all the way out to Philadelphia. I mean, not to Harrisburg.
They
Two,
could carpool.
most of these individuals are definitely over 70.
Okay.
You want people who really say, "Get off my lawn," those are the people. Those are the
There you
people.
go.
In
All
my
right.
day, when I was growing up, we did.
Yeah,
Oh.
exactly.
Yep.
We had our gaming conventions in person. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
We had people come out to play games.
Yeah.
Ah.
Is nothing new. Okay. Well done. You have a good night.
Thank you for having me on. Have a good one.
So I had a nice little discussion about my fleet, not as much as I want to have a little more discussion about that. But yeah, I'm still tinkering, I'm still thinking about that one idea and whether to change out that one. Now, obviously the problem with that is da-da-da-da, I lose a lot of those wonderful extra boarding parties and commandos that I can use for it now, which of course this begs the question, obviously, is how much boarding party action do I envision actually occurring during this combat? If I have the obviously the biggest issue is just going to be This is going to be my first fleet battle with the Saltorians. And it would like this one of the things I would love to be able to adjust in the middle, after my first combat and how that all worked. And because then not that I want to change ships, but change out okay what I could actually use for my commander's options. So anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.